are off and running on a Madness Monday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byer, Scott Giese, and you as we start a brand new week. Hello, week. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
And it's a beautiful week.
Oh!
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor.
With us.
Grab your winter coat.
That's amazing.
Grab your winter coat. All right, now, next hour, as usual, Mondays, our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, will join us talking weather later next hour. If I'm correct from the different, and again, I've got a bunch of weather apps on my device, and I think they pretty much all agree, it's going to be either freezing or sub-freezing the next three nights. So that's why we're saying grab that winter coat. Not quite spring yet. I know. The grass is, well, actually, we're in our building here. And we have a parking lot, we have a window, and we're surrounded by a lawn area. Lawn's pretty green, all right? Now, I don't know about where you live, if your lawn is green yet, but here at our studios and at my house, lawn's pretty green. Now, not time to mow yet. Definitely not the next 3 days, all right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a shade on the cold side. So, now, Joe, hey, come on. If you're a regular listener, come on, nod your head. Joe warned us. He told us. All right, what, three weeks ago, he told us. Surprise! Now, at least on my drive into the studio, I did not see any snow flurries. It was pretty much like a cold rain. But allegedly, tonight, might see a little white stuff flying around. I know, it's April. It's okay. Now, again, when we talk to Joe next hour, unless I'm imagining, he actually mentioned May and I can't spit it out.
Don't even start with me today.
For the month of May.
Coming in here in a good mood, and you guys are just ruining it right out of the gate.
Terribly sorry. I'm really sorry. So, open line time. Oh, my goodness. Plenty to talk about. Of course, there's plenty to talk about. Later on. Now, we can start now if you want to. 814-954-7266. All right. All right. Let's start a week. Let's start with some birthdays. Actually, not birthdays, anniversaries.
Anniversaries.
Let's start with some anniversaries.
All right.
I'm not sure who to reach out to, but I want to reach out to somebody. This is Scott. I'm a history guy, but I did not know this until like the other day. So I'm out and about. I'm driving my car. I'm going down College Avenue over near the intersection with Route 322. And there's a sign. I'm like, really? I didn't realize that. This year is the 150th anniversary for College Township. I did not know that. College Township was formed in 1875.
Ooh, almost a century ago.
Wow. Well, it would be over.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, over. Okay, concussion protocol. Here we go. 150 years. I've got to figure out who to reach out to because there's a history there. I like history and it's local. So, if you're out there and you know the right person, some College Township historian or something, get us word. Go to our website, 987thefox.info, and look for the contact us link and just send us a quick note like, hey, contact this person. So that'll help me in my search. I want to see if we can do that. So 150 years for College Township. That's interesting. Also, today, on this day, in 1969, something big happened. All right?
Well, no, you're a little off. It wasn't until May 2nd I was born. This is only April 7th. You're off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But you're close. I don't know who gave you the you're off just a little bit. The big day in 1969 was May 2nd.
Isn't it for,
2nd,
what, 4 weeks something like that? Okay.
Huh?
That's not what I have on my
what?
List.
What?
On this day, today, In 1969,
what could it be?
The Defense Department's Advanced Research Products Agency, which is now called DARPA. DARPA published the first digital document on a shared computer network.
Wow.
Now, that sounds really fancy, doesn't it?
Sure does.
The first digital document on a shared computer network.
Ooh.
Today, we would call that the Internet. And so today is kind of recognized as the birthday of the Internet. How about that? So that would be 56 years ago. I'm not talking about your age. 56 years ago, DARPA. And again, DARPA, if you follow science stuff especially, you hear about DARPA. These folks are really smart, really sharp, and they do pretty cool research and development stuff, R&D, obviously for our Defense Department. I mean, they come up with all sorts of gadgets, gizmos, maybe stealth technology, all that funky stuff. They were the folks that started the Internet. And the very first, I guess call it a message, was sent on this day way back in 1969. Now, for the rest of us, the Internet didn't really emerge until the 1990s. But DARPA started it in 1969. How about that? That's pretty wild.
Al Gore worked for DARPA.
Yeah.
I was not completely aware of it. I don't
think he worked for DARPA.
What?
And yes, when he made that ridiculous comment all those years ago, I'm like, okay, what's he drinking? All right. Speaking of drinking, I'll have something later on that. Okay, folks, serious question. Serious question. All right. Have you done your taxes yet? I have, Mr. Ironhead.
I have not.
Oh,
we have.
Well, then you're done.
Well, we think so. It's all into the office. We need to. Usually, they need something from me. Is the way this usually works out. That final week, like, oh, by the way, we still are missing. But so far, it's looking promising.
So
it seems like I may have actually included everything.
You haven't submitted
possibly.
Yet. You haven't submitted
correct.
Yet. Okay, so you're not done.
It is into the office. Okay. Yeah, my wife handles. We have an interesting arrangement because I handle most of the day-to-day finances, but she takes over at tax time. She's like, hand me the forms.
Okay,
so
that's
so
cool.
Okay. So yeah.
All right.
I think we're pretty well set.
Okay, the clock is ticking, though. All right.
Tick, tick, tick.
April 7, of course, tax day is April 15. Okay, folks, that's only 8 days. Don't do this night before stuff, all right? That's not wise. Here's something interesting. This is a story I came across from last week. Now, I used to do my own taxes, and I remember it gave me a headache every year.
Every year.
So I finally started going to a tax preparation service, where right now I have a friend who does my taxes for me. And obviously I pay my friend, and that's great. I like that. A lot of folks, you know, we've got computer software and all this stuff now, won't give any free plugs, you know, where you can pop on your computer, put in your information, maybe you even do a video call apparently with somebody and they help you or whatever. Okay, fine, that's great. Here's a new one. Now, how can I mean, again, doing your taxes is right, drives you nuts. Even if it's really, really simple, you know, you do the 1040 A or EZ form or whatever, you know, say, boop, done, all right? Even that, it's like, this is no fun. Imagine if doing your taxes was fun. All right, now you're thinking, oh, was that guy nuts? Well, maybe I am. There's a new software program out there. This is hilarious, but this is true. I'm not making this up.
Seems like you might be making this up.
No. It's called PokeTax.
PokeTax.
Hmm. This is a software program which is a takeoff of Pokemon. folks, I'm not making. When I first read this, I'm like, okay, come on, give me a break. No, this is actually legit. All right, PokeTax. So instead of, I'm reading here from a story. Instead of tax forms, you take on tax trainers, which are like Pokemon characters. And they represent different parts of a tax form. So you have the income side, you have the deduction side, you have the other sides. And so you pick a Pokemon, and the Pokemon starts playing with you, essentially, asking you questions so that you can gather your information. And the Pokemon take in the information. Okay. When you're all done, then apparently you can go to the, there's a direct file site so that you can, whoop, send out your stuff to the IRS. Now, I don't play Pokemon. Remember we had a Pokemon guest a few weeks ago before Happy Valley Comic Con. That was a lot of fun. We got, in fact, he did a very nice, autographed picture for us back there, okay? And so, that, I mean, that's pretty cool. I've never done the Pokemon stuff. I know some of you, even adults, some of you have. Apparently there's a game called Pokemon Showdown, which is sort of an open source game. This is a real deal. Done by a private, like, small company. Let's see. It says the game has an AI assistant that helps organize your responses. In fact, if you do so well, you get deductions and so on. Your players, you can win a badge from your tax trainer Pokemon. Now, that's not a crazy idea. I mean, think about anything you do out there that's just drudgery, a chore. Oh, I hate this. Oh, it could be housework. It could be whatever. If you can find a way to turn it into a game, it becomes more enjoyable, doesn't it? Like, okay, I can deal with this. It's like you're playing a game. You start at the beginning of the game, like a board game. You start at the beginning of the game, and you go down through the board, and hopefully you get to the end of the game, and you win. All right? Now, imagine doing that with some chores and things you really hate. I don't know, washing windows. God, at my house, it's almost time to do that. All right, spring cleaning. If you can find a way to turn that into a game, it becomes more enjoyable. So, hey, they're doing it with taxes now. Isn't that interesting? All right, that's pretty cool. Let's mention this. Today, actually this evening, local representative Paul Takac is doing one more of his meetings talking about the proposed closure of Rockview State Prison. The last one of the, he's did five of these. The last one of the five is today. It's at Snowshoe, the Snowshoe Township building, which is in Clarence. Once again today from 5 until 6:30 p.m. If you want to go speak your piece, yay, nay, whatever, all right, you can do that. Now, the state's actual local, I guess, meeting event is, and daggone, I didn't write this down. It's one day next week. All right. It's that, it's their official one. One day next week. Now that's where state hoo-haws will be here. And I expect the crowd for that one is going to be significant. All right. But if you just want to go, you know, kind of speak your piece now to the representative, and there could be some other elected officials there today. Snowshoe Township building in Clarence. Today from 5 until 6:30 p.m. All right, so take that in. And obviously we'll be keeping tabs on this whole shindig and where it eventually ends up. Rockview and the Quihana Boot Camp, which is sort of just over the county line beyond Carthus in Clearfield County. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, there's somebody has a call. Well, we can take calls. Let's do that
absolutely.
Right here.
Absolutely. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Okay, Jeff, let's talk. Hey, first of all, my day-to-day finances are pretty much kept in my wallet.
I hear you loud and clear.
All right, there you go.
My biggest investment's in the wife market. But I've heard expressed to me, because me getting on the Internet's sort of like the same as me trying to fly to Mars, and I don't even know Elon. So, I've heard all kinds of things from this Friar, whatever, the heavyweight wrestler, potential heavyweight wrestler. Is anything from Charles Manson to Mother Teresa?
No.
And do you have any info? The last report I got was we're not in, we have no contact, we're not interested, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know anything about that at all?
I don't. It sounds like, and I'm just, you know, going on the reports out there as well, but it sounds like North Carolina is a likely landing spot now for A.J. Ferrari.
Okay. Is that, we're not necessarily interested, or are there other issues?
No, I don't know for sure. I'm not sure what the interest level from Ferrari is in Penn State, and it would start there. He would have to have the interest in coming, and then the discussion would take place from there.
Right. Are we basically looking at Marisola putting on 85 pounds to be the heavyweight? Or?
I think probably looking to put on 10 to 15 pounds of you know, good weight, as we call it.
Okay. But you're at this point, we're thinking he's probably going to be the go-to guy at heavyweight?
I would think right now that's the way it looks, and I think he'll be very good next year. I really do.
And we're pretty sure that Ono might be able to make the roster.
I think he'll find a spot somewhere in there, yes.
I thought that was pretty neat. I heard that comment. You said he was screwing around, which is great. I could wrestle anywhere from 133 to 157.
Yeah, let's see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, I think the guy's going to fit in okay, but just from that comment, you know, I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right.
Okay, thanks for the info.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call here on a Monday morning.
All right, there we go. Got a few more minutes
here.
Feels
like a Monday morning.
Sports segment coming up next, but 814-954-7266. All right, let's see if we can brighten my friend's mood here.
Yeah.
All right, this weather's driving him
not
down.
Making me happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Got this from, one of my favorite websites, visualcapitalist.com. All one word. These, again, are journalists that take dry, boring numbers and they turn them into graphics, which are actually fun to read. And you find out things you never realized when you just have a list of statistics. It's like, all right, it's boring. These folks turn them into graphics, which is really neat. And they do one of these a day. And so I came across this one. A case of beer costs... And it's the United States. Where? How much does an average case of beer cost in every state in the union?
Average.
Now, first off, you're thinking, okay, wait a minute. Beer. What beer? All right. There's national brands. There's local brands. There's niche brands. There's light beers, regular beers, heavy beers, dark beers, light beers. There's a ton of beer out there, right? Well, for this particular graphic, they kind of went plain. This is for, based on the average wholesale price for a 24-pack of either Bud Light or Miller Lite. Now, I know, you're not a light beer fan, are you?
Not.
Well, they had to pick something.
Yeah, right? No problem.
They had to choose something.
Just not my cup of tea, if you will.
Or cup of tea.
Uh-huh.
That's
see
good.
What I did there?
See, I like tea, so uh-huh. There we go. So it takes a look at the 50 states. The idea is, what is the average wholesale price for a 24-pack?
Oh, not even going the 30.
No, 24-pack.
The 24.
Of either Miller Lite, Bud Light. All right, well, you know, the two major, you know, light beer brands. This is fascinating. The most expensive cost for that 24-pack would be in Alaska. Now, not a surprise. Alaska's, you know, there's a separation there. It's kind of up there. And it costs $33.62 for a 24-pack of Bud Light or Miller Lite in Alaska. Interesting. The cheapest state in the union, I would have never guessed. I just wouldn't. And I guess, you know, part of this might be, okay, where are the breweries? Ah, that might have something to do with it. Where are the breweries? All right. The cheapest state in the union, it says here, is Illinois. I don't know. I wouldn't have picked Illinois.
No. Because
I'm thinking Chicago, kind of expensive. But apparently, Illinois, it's actually half the price of Alaska. It's only $16.43 for a 24-pack of beer in Illinois. I'm like, wow, okay. Now, Missouri, I'm trying to think, Budweiser, St. Louis, Missouri is not far behind, $18.51. I think Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right? Breweries, Milwaukee, a little bit more, $19.62 for that 24-pack. Here's another surprise, New York. Now, again, I think New York... I think New York City, I think expensive. There is a whole other state of New York, okay? Folks, have you been north of the border? Beautiful up there. New York is only $16.72 for the 24-pack of beer. Now, imagine, obviously, here we are. We're right smack in the middle of the state, Pennsylvania.
Here we are.
We're right in the middle. Imagine now, in my old job, I did work all the way up the northern tier, right up to the New York State border. And so I had a chance to work, and I have friends that live in towns that are within very easy driving distance of the New York State border, okay? And after looking at this, I can imagine, I get a good guess where they buy their beer, because it's probably not in Pennsylvania, all right? They probably crossed the line to New York. Again, New York, it says here, it's $16.72. In Pennsylvania, $23.21. That's a difference of about $6.50 for that same 24-pack of beer. And for whatever reason, Pennsylvania, except for Vermont, which is essentially the same, Pennsylvania has the most expensive beer for the entire northeastern part of the country. All right? I mean, in New Jersey, it's $20 and change. Delaware is $20 and change. Maryland is $22. Ohio is $20 and change. West Virginia, it's under $20. Virginia is only $18. For some reason, our beer is $23.21.
What's up with that?
Well, I was going to ask you. You're a bigger beer drinker than me. Can you tell me why?
It's an outrage.
Is taxes? I don't know. Is it Harrisburg? All right, you don't go to a state store for beer. Pretty much now, and you go anywhere you want. Go to a convenience store for beer. Go to a beer distributor for beer. Some other places you can get beer. Why is it so expensive in our state?
Darn good question.
I'd like to. We're going to take a break. If somebody out there knows,
get a good answer.
When we have open line time later, I would like you to call in and tell. Now, again, this is not the crafty beers. This is plain Jane, Bud Light, Miller Lite, like everybody else has. Same beer. Why is it so extra expensive here? I'd be curious. Inquiring minds want to know. That stuck out at me when I downloaded this graphic. I'm like, wait a minute, that shouldn't be happening. I mean, for goodness sakes, California's $19 for beer. They tax the heck out of everything in California.
Yeah, that's
Let's see if we can find out. Right now, though, let's take a break.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Light Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Light Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Bieber Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Bieber Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, coming off yet another busy little weekend in the world of sports. Man, lots going on, lots to catch you up on, and of course it is going to be an exciting week ahead in the world of sports, and of course part of it depends, you know, on the weather. Because,
well, of course,
it's not looking all that promising, you know, let's say for today. But fingers crossed, hoping that we get some of the action in. Although apparently Little League out today and tomorrow. Field conditions and weather conditions in general, nothing happening on the State College Little League front anyway for the next couple of days. All right, let's start with the 10th-ranked Penn State men's lacrosse team picking up a big 11-8 win at 13th-ranked Michigan yesterday. Matt Traynor scored three goals to pace the Penn State offense. Traynor now with 100 goals in his career. Jack Frassion had nine saves to help the Nittany Lions rally from a 5-4 halftime deficit to improve to 7-3 on the season. Penn State now 1-2 in Big Ten play. Peyton Wainman scored the game winner as the Penn State women's lacrosse team knocked off Ohio State in overtime 12-11 at Panzer Stadium yesterday. Wainman and Emma Kelly each finished with three goals and an assist for Penn State. Sydney Manning made 12 saves, including an absolute showstopper in overtime with Ohio State on a one-player advantage. The Nittany Lions have now reeled off four straight wins to improve to 6-7 on the season, now 4-2 in Big Ten play.
The announcer was great.
I hear nothing but great things about
we'll
the
share a story
announcement.
Later.
I think that was the inspiration
for the
overtime win. At the Big Ten Men's Gymnastics Championship in Ann Arbor, Michigan over the weekend, the Nittany Lions finished second in the team race, and the Nittany Lions fared very well in the individual championships with Penn State's Josh Carnes winning the parallel bars title for a second straight season. Carnes also finished eighth on the pommel horse. Matt Cormier was placed in three different events for Penn State. He took sixth in the floor exercise, sixth on the vault, and eighth on the high bar. The Nittany Lions' Xcelly Karsikas also took fifth on the high bar, and Matt Underhill was sixth on the rings. Teammate Michael Artlip also eighth in the floor exercise. The NCAA championships will be back in Ann Arbor, Michigan on April 18th and 19th. Bryce Molinaro had two of the Penn State baseball team's six home runs yesterday in a 15-10 win over Minnesota, the win completing a sweep of the road series for the Nittany Lions. Jack Porter, Joe Jackonski, Ryan Weingartner, and Nate Voss also all went deep for Penn State. Molinaro finished the day with four hits, the Nittany Lions winning the first two games of the series, including a 5-2 win on Saturday. Nittany Lions rallied with a four-run ninth to pull out that victory. Nate Voss had a solo home run in the fourth on Saturday and then belted a three-run double in the ninth. Penn State won Friday's game 10-4 with Cole Wagner driving in four runs with a homer and a triple. Penn State now 21-10 on the season, 9-6 in the Big Ten. In the series, Penn State scored 30 runs on 37 hits with 9 home runs. That's a good weekend for the Penn State baseball team's offense. On the softball side of things, Penn State sweeping Rutgers in a three-game series at home over the weekend. On Saturday, the Nittany Lions making some history in the 15-11 win that got Penn State back to the 500 mark, both overall in the season at 18-18 and in the Big Ten, now at 5-5. Brooke Klosowitz belted Penn State's third home run of the game in the bottom of the third on Saturday. That was the 54th home run of the season for the Nittany Lions. That 54 sets a new school record for home runs in a season for the program. Megan Ricks and Haley Brunson also homered in the game on Saturday. Klosowitz went 3-for-4, hitting a single, double, and home run, and also drawing a walk while driving in 3, scoring 4, and adding a stolen base for good measure. Penn State sweeping Friday's doubleheader by scores of 2-1 and 8-0. Penn State will host St. Francis tomorrow at 6. Penn State men's volleyball completing a two-match sweep of Sacred Heart with a 3-1 victory Saturday night in the South Gym at Rec Hall. Michael Schwab hit 420 in the match with 46 assists and 8 digs. Penn State sweeping Sacred Heart Friday night 3-0 behind Sean Harvey's 11 kills and 3 blocks. The Nittany Lions are now 8-14 on the season, 5-3 now in EIVA matches. The Penn State track and field teams competing at the Florida Relays in Gainesville over the weekend. Handel Robin led Penn State with a second-place finish in the men's 800. He was also part of the 4x400 relay team that took fifth. Freshman Johnny Dwyer placed seventh in the men's 100, and Dylan Lambrecht was seventh in the men's shot put for Penn State. On the women's side, Allison Johnson leading the way for Penn State with a seventh-place finish in the 800. Zoe Goldstein took 14th in the 400. Penn State men's golf team finishing in 8th place out of 14 teams competing at the Mason Rudolph Championships Saturday at Vanderbilt. Penn State finishing with a 5 over par 857. Individually, the Nittany Lions' Jake Griffin tied for 13th with a 6 under 207 for the 3 rounds. Penn State men's tennis defeating Mercyhurst 7-0 yesterday after falling to UCLA 4-0. On Friday, the State College softball team picking up a 3-0 victory over Punxsutawney. Addison Harpster fired a 3-hitter in the complete game shutout for State High. Belfont softball team losing to Forest Hills 3-1. In JV action, Belfont won 14-0. Taylor Brown had the only RBI for the Belfont varsity squad, which is now 3-1 on the season. In boys lacrosse, State College losing to Central York 10-8. First loss for the Little Lions in 7 games this season. Penn State wrestling team held its annual awards luncheon yesterday. Mitchell Messenbrink taking home the awards for most points scored, most takedowns, and most bonus points for the Nittany Lions. Levi Haynes won the award for most pins. Of course, the Nittany Lions with 10 All-Americans this season and also setting a new NCAA scoring mark with 177 points. Congratulations to the Nittany Lions. Not that there was ever a doubt, but the Pittsburgh Penguins have now officially been eliminated from playoff contention. Let's hit the golf course, boys. The Blackhawks beat Pittsburgh 3-1 yesterday after the Penguins had rallied to beat the Stars Saturday 5-3 behind three goals and an assist from one Sidney Crosby. Crosby seeing his NHL-leading 12-game scoring streak come to an end in yesterday's loss. This marks the third consecutive season that the Penguins will not be in the playoffs. The Flyers have also been eliminated from playoff contention. Philadelphia lost to Montreal Saturday 3-2. That loss was the first for interim head coach Brad Shaw. One Pennsylvania team is playing postseason hockey, though, and Penn State is just two wins away from a national championship. The Nittany Lions will face Boston University Thursday night in the Frozen Four in St. Louis. We'll have that game for you on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox with face-off at 8:30. Thursday night, the first game will have Denver taking on Western Michigan at 5. The winners will meet for the national championship Saturday night at 7:30. One other hockey note. Alex Ovechkin is now the all-time leading scorer in the NHL. Ovechkin amazingly surpassed Wayne Gretzky with his 895th career goal yesterday. One of those records I did not think we would see even challenged, let alone broken. But Ovechkin has done it, the record breaker coming in the second period of the Capitals' 4-1 loss to the Islanders. And the great one was on hand to witness the feat. The Pittsburgh Pirates salvaged the final game of their home opening series with the Yankees yesterday after blowing a 4-1 lead. Thank you, dear bullpen. The Bucks got a walk-off single from Tommy Pham in the 11th for the 5-4 win. The Pirates have now, this is the type of start we were hoping for. They have won a game in each of their three series this season. Ladies and gentlemen,
well, hey.
The Pirates just cannot be swept.
That's right. Good.
They are now 3-7 on the year and in the basement of the National League Central, but they win a game in each series. They'll open up a series against the St. Louis Cardinals tonight at PNC Park. Well, you know, weather permitting.
Hopefully.
First pitch scheduled for 6:40 with airtime scheduled for 6:10 right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Quite a weekend for the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies taking 2 of 3 from the presumptive greatest team in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Nick Castellanos hit a grand slam after the Phillies, with some help from the rain, chased a flustered Tyler Glasnow. Boy, that name is familiar as a Pirates fan. I can't quite place. He walked 4 in the bottom of the third. Edmundo Sosa knocked in the winning run with a fielder's choice in the 7th. Phillies are atop the National League East at 7-2. It was a fun weekend if you were a Phillies fan. And if you missed it, the Pirates making some news, Pirates ownership making some news outside of the lines as well. The Buccos organization coming under some pretty heavy criticism after they replaced a Roberto Clemente logo with an advertisement for Surfside, an alcoholic beverage provider, on PNC Park's right field wall. Pirates team president Travis Williams said the Clemente logo will be added back to its original spot. I will read the statement released from Mr. Williams. quote, "We did not intend to disrespect the legacy of Roberto Clemente by adding the advertisement to the pad in right field. When we added the advertisement to the pad, it was an oversight, not to keep the number 21 logo. This is ultimately on me, not anyone else in the organization. It was an honest mistake," unquote. As you might imagine, many fans took to social media to express their displeasure with the greed and just sheer disrespect being shown to Clemente. Clemente's son also reached out via social media to express the displeasure from the Clemente family at the decision. Williams, in his statement, Pirates team president, Travis Williams, says, quote, "We want to make sure that the Clemente family understands that we intended no disrespect to their father. We look forward to continuing our relationship with the Clemente family and apologize to them and our fans for our honest mistake," unquote. Good God.
These guys can't get out of their own way, can they? This is getting pretty bad.
I mean, okay, fine. Honest mistakes happen. Really, nobody said to themselves in the moment, hey, maybe let's just put this advertisement over here a little bit and leave the look. Come on, guys.
They can't get out of their own way.
Good God. What an embarrassing organization.
I saw a blurb on social media. A lot of fans wearing T-shirts saying, sell the team.
Please, for the love of God, do the right thing. The UConn women's basketball team won a record 12th national championship, cruising to an 82-59 win over South Carolina in the title game yesterday. Ozzie Fudd and Sarah Strong scored 24 points apiece. Paige Beckers added 17, and UConn breezed through the Final Four to the championship. The men's championship game will be tonight. Florida and Houston will square off in the title game. Florida pulled away from Auburn for a 79-73 win in the semifinals Saturday night, while Houston rallied for an improbable 70-67 win over Duke. The Blue Devils collapsed.
They blew it.
They just absolutely collapsed. Trying to remember the last time I saw something like that in a on that stage in college hoops. That was bad. The Cougars outscored the Blue Devils 15-3 down the stretch. I mean, it felt like Duke was in complete control, had the game under wraps, even with, about a minute 15 left. And like, Duke has this. And then, I mean, collapsed. Not a good feeling if you're a Duke fan here on this Monday morning. Tonight, again, it'll be Houston versus Florida in the championship game. Tip-off.
Yeah.
Tip-off will be not the end of the game. Tip-off. It will start at 8:50, that's 8:50.
They hope
Eastern Time tonight. Good heavens,
it's ridiculous,
folks!
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
We don't care about the East Coast and whether or not they see the end of the game. Although the way most of these games, Duke Houston was the exception. Most of these games have been decided pretty much by halftime anyway. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Now, the women's championship game was yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it was ugly.
I didn't watch a lick. It was in the afternoon, and a lot of people don't like that. It's like, why aren't they play at night like the men do? And they've got a point. Why did they play in the afternoon?
Yeah, they're hoping.
And the ratings were down.
Yeah.
All right. The ratings were down. So it's like on both sides, it's like, come on, guys. If it's the TV networks are doing this, somebody sit them down and smack them around a little bit and saying, come on, do the right thing. All right. Not so damn late for the men and play the women at night like you do with the men. I mean, it's like, this is not hard. Anyway, not hard at all.
Yeah.
Come on. This is not hard.
Not good.
I'm thinking TV executives made these decisions. All right, sit them down, smack them around, and say, knock it off, and let's do what's right. Now, who's going to do that? NCAA? Yeah, okay. That's what we think of them. Let's take a break here before we both explode. It's the NCAA again. Like, okay, yeah, we're big fans. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have some open line time coming up. I'll tell you my women's lacrosse story. I'm a new fan. I'm a big fan now.
Yeah.
All right? It was a great game yesterday. It really was. Back and forth. And the announcer, again, was
rave reviews.
from who? Let's take a break. We will come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
It's the Kubota Orange Day sales event at Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Friday, April 11th, 8 to 5. Saturday, April 12th from 8 till noon, test drive equipment. Get the best deals of the season. Get 10% off all in-stock parts along with door prizes and giveaways. And do not forget the pancake breakfast from 8 to 11 both days. The Kubota Orange Day sales event features zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select Kubota models. On some models, you can save up to $3,500 with cash purchase. Just ask the Kubota experts at your destination for Kubota. Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Mark the dates on your calendar for the Kubota Orange Day sales event of the year, April 11th from 8 to 5 and the 12th from 8 till noon. Daughter Equipment, your destination for Kubota. 0% APR financing now through 6/30/2025. See Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is wide open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266. We will talk with the great guru of weather, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, coming up in the final segment of this morning's program, right around 9:40 or so. We'll undoubtedly talk some weather, and we'll undoubtedly talk some other things as well. You never know exactly what all you're going to get with Mr. Bastardi. Sure. That is one of the charms of Mr. Bastardi. Looking forward to that conversation.
All right. Now, friends, yes, we will talk protests and tariffs coming up a little bit. All right. Let me stick with sports a little bit. Let me go backwards a little bit.
All right.
If Wayne Gretzky is the great one, what is Alex Ovechkin now? Alex the Great?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Really?
Well, Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. Okay, well, that's good.
Uh-huh.
That makes perfect sense. Alexander the Great. Actually, there's a bunch of stories about this. If you compare Ovechkin's, stats numbers with Gretzky's stats numbers, they're almost identical.
Yeah.
Number of games played, number of goals, which is actually strangely fascinating. I mean, these two guys are very similar. The difference is Ovechkin's still playing. And he's going to keep playing. Washington, once again, has a good team this year. So they're, you know, going to the playoffs and so on. So he has a chance to, you know, make some noise in the playoffs and so on. It was kind of cool that Gretzky kind of followed him for several games. Like, okay, I'm going to stick with him until he breaks my record. And then when he does, you do the ceremonies and the whole bit. That's pretty cool. Gretzky didn't have to do that. I mean, he might have just sent Ovechkin an email. Hey, Alex, congratulations, buddy. It's really great. He followed him for several games to make sure that he was there when he broke the record. Because, as you mentioned earlier, it's a big record. You know, he's gonna break 900 goals, and then we'll see how much further he can go. All right. You did miss one score. Okay.
All right.
The first ever college basketball crown tournament. Now, this is this brand new men's basketball tournament, which is unique. It's not NCAA tournament teams. It's teams that didn't make it. It's unique because it was all played in a week. It was all played in Las Vegas. In other words, same place.
Oh, thank you.
Not this around the country stuff. Nebraska, they're happy in Nebraska today because Nebraska won the tournament yesterday. They beat Central Florida 77-66, and for doing that, they also took home a nice check for $300,000.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's a reason to play in a tournament. Hey, you get a check for $300,000. Yeah, we'll sign up, please. So there we go. Yes, the ratings for the NCAA women's tournament was down. I was curious to see just how much. Now, it's a good news, bad news thing.
Yeah.
All right? The bad news is that the ratings were down. Now, part of that, again, might have been that the final game was in the afternoon yesterday. Should have been played last night, not in the afternoon. That's like, why? Why'd you do that, NCAA or ESPN or whatever? The semifinal game's numbers weren't bad. They peaked at around, for each game, they peaked at around 4.6 million viewers per game. That's pretty good. The Final Four was the third most watched semifinal in the last 30 years. Now, can you guess the top two? Yes, it would have been the last 2 years when a certain Caitlin Clark was playing. She's still the Golden Girl. All right, she's the Golden Girl. She is. Now, the good news is that if you take the last 2 years out, yesterday or this weekend's numbers for the women were still significantly better than 3 years ago by a 44%. All right, that's a great increase. But it was less than the last 2 years. Okay. And yeah, man, UConn just, I mean, South Carolina is the defending champion. You got Dawn Staley, their coach. Rather outspoken, good players, and UConn buried them yesterday. I mean, UConn's good. I didn't realize that Gino Auriemma has been at UConn for 40 years, as in 4-0. I didn't think there were any more coaches around that long, like Joe Paterno and so on. 40 years for Auriemma, and now I've got to really think, okay, Gino, when are you done?
And he's 71, oldest coach now to have won a national title, and again, a record 12th for the UConn program.
Which is unbelievable. He goes down as the greatest coach in the history of the sport. But after all this, I mean, there's somebody at UConn whispering in Gino's ear, Gino, buddy, maybe it's time. All right? Don't repeat. All right? No offense to the family. Don't repeat what Jopa did. Don't repeat what Bear Bryant did. Don't repeat maybe what some other coaches who just coached and coached and coached and coached. And by the time they finally left, within a few months, all done. You know? It's like, you know, Auriemma, maybe, okay, you're at the top of the mountain. You've done it again. Maybe now is a good time to say, I think it's time to go. This is maybe a good time. Now, again, it seems like with a lot of these coaches, they simply don't know when to say no. They don't know when to say, okay, I think it's time to retire now. It's done. I'm done. And so there have been so many, I'll call them tragic stories, like I just listed, that I just wonder if somebody's having that chat with the coach this week up at UConn. Just a thought. Yeah, Penn State women's lacrosse. I had a great time.
I just want to. So
go ahead.
It's tragic if they die while they're still working. Is that your?
No,
I'm not understanding what's tragic.
No.
They just won the national title,
which is great.
Yeah,
but again, it's just and it's Jopa.
I'm not sure I'm understanding.
Now, granted, Jopa's story ended. It shouldn't have ended that way. All right, we all know that. All right. I think more about Bear Bryant, Alabama. Now we're going back 40 years. No, more than 40 years. Bear Bryant coached too long. He was the figurehead for Alabama forever and ever and ever. When he finally retired, 6 months later, he died. And I'm thinking he didn't have a chance to enjoy retirement at all. That's what I'm getting at. That's it.
Yeah,
personal stuff. You know.
Yeah. So there are. I think you're applying your personal thoughts on other people.
Yes.
And you ought not do that. Not all of us. And we'll see. I mean, things change. I have no desire to retire, quote unquote. Now I'm a ways away from even being able to consider it, but I don't. I think you just have a skewed perspective. That there are a lot of people that it's like, no, I'm not. Retirement isn't appealing to me. We have some folks around here that are in their 90s and very active in their business and working careers. And it's like, I mean, by your perspective, it's like, oh my, that's going to be tragic. You're going to die while you're working. They're doing what they love to do.
Yeah.
Why, if you're successful and you're still at the top of your game and this is what you want to do, I don't see at all what is tragic about this. It's insane, actually, that you think that is tragic.
We disagree, but let's take a call.
Wildly disagree.
Yeah.
No, you must retire from the thing that you love doing.
I never said that.
You did.
I did say must.
That is exactly what you just got done saying. That's what you just got done saying.
No.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. All right, go ahead.
I'm just calling in for Scott Giese. This is Jim Gerlach.
Good morning.
Hi, go ahead. Hello?
I think you have a guest scheduled.
What's it?
Jim Gerlach.
Yes, I'm scheduled to be on the show at 9 o'clock with Scott Giese.
Oh, Jim, no, that's supposed to be tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't written down this.
Okay, you confused the heck out of me there. No, Jim, we got you tomorrow.
Oh, well, I apologize, but it sounds like you're having a great conversation nonetheless.
which you've stumbled into.
Whatever you do, don't retire between today and
tomorrow. No, he is retired.
In the words of a former elected official, I feel strongly both ways.
There you go. I like it.
All right.
That's the way to do
it. Now, Jim, you can join us tomorrow, right?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I apologize.
No, that's fun.
My bad, as they say.
All right. We are all good.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
So we'll take it.
Okay. Well, have a wonderful conversation. I apologize.
That's fun.
No, thank you. We appreciate the... And we will talk to you tomorrow.
I got confused. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. That's tomorrow. All right, real quick, promo for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Jim Gerlach is a retired congressman from the greater Philadelphia area. He's with a group called PA Civics. And back in March, they had a National Civics Day, mainly aimed at schools. And I missed it, because if I had known in advance this day was coming up, I would have reached out in advance, and I flat missed this day. But after the day passed, I thought, oh shoot, that would have been a good topic. I reached out anyway, and former Congressman Gerlach got back to me. He's like, yeah, let's talk about this. So tomorrow's show is going to be interesting, because part of the idea is, do they teach civics in school still? And two, do you really know how your government works? Do you really, really know? My guess is maybe not. And when we take a break in a little bit, the protests and so on from the weekend, kind of dovetails maybe into that a little bit. But Congressman or former Congressman Gerlach is with this state group, and he's going to be joining us tomorrow at this time. So there we go. I never said must. It was just, it's not a must, it's just
should.
It just,
you said should.
I just,
what why should you stop just, doing something that you love that you're successful at?
And I'm older than you.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I can see retirement in my windshield, if you will, and I've started thinking about it now from a financial perspective. I'm nowhere close. That's really bad. Okay, so I'm going to keep on working. Yes, because I enjoy keeping on working, and so on. The question is how long. I don't want to get to a point where I'm working, and then I finally retire, and then less than a year later, poof, that's it. That's it.
That's fine. That's what you want for you. I don't know why you're projecting what you want for yourself on other human beings.
Now again, you ought not be doing that. Joe Paterno.
Let other people live their lives.
Joe Paterno's situation again was affected, of course, by the whole Sandusky affair, and we haven't had an update on that lately. By the way, we've got to get an update on that. And then, of course, we all know that within what? 2 months, that was it. And I just thought, oh, man. I mean, here's somebody never had a chance to enjoy retirement. That's it. I mean, that's it. If you enjoy what you're doing and you can, keep on doing it.
It absolutely doesn't. You hope somebody is whispering to Gino Auriemma that it's time now, and I'm saying, what? Why in the hell would you do that? The guy is loving what he's
it's
doing.
It's time to
and
start.
And he is wildly successful.
It's time to start thinking about it.
Why?
So that you can
because Scott has determined that this is what is best for Gino Auriemma. Stop determining what's best for other human beings. Let Gino live his life. You live yours.
Fine.
Focus on yours.
Fine.
God, this this stuff just drives me crazy.
Well, I know best what these other human beings should do with their lives.
No, you don't. So stop even suggesting that you do.
Not what I said.
It's absolutely what you said. He doesn't even know what he said, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. We'll have a lot more to say as we continue on our Monday morning edition.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Lycoming Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA's Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College. Get up and get going.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. Again, that's 814-954-7266. And Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us for the final segment this morning at about 9:40. So you have a couple of segments here that you can get your calls in if you want to share something that occurred, good, bad, and different over the weekend. I want to preview something coming up this week. I am really pumped about the Penn State hockey game on Thursday night. Again, we'll have that contest for you live right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And see if Penn State can bring it home. First ever Frozen Four appearance for Guy Gadowski's squad. And they've got a special team. Obviously, all four teams are having special seasons, special runs. You don't get to the Frozen Four without that being the case. So nothing easy, obviously, from here on in. But should be a fun game. Should be very, very good game on Thursday night, and certainly wish the Nittany Lions the best of luck in that contest on Thursday night.
Penn State's definitely the underdog. They're the number four team of the four.
Yeah.
You know, if you go by the bettors and, you know, all that stuff. Boston U, this is like their third year in a row in the Frozen Four, so they're regulars.
They have some experience.
Denver is the defending national champion, so they know the gig. Western Michigan is the other team. So Penn State's the underdog, which, frankly, I think they probably, that's exactly where they want to be.
They've embraced that from January on.
Yeah.
And with tremendous results.
Yeah. They were the underdog against UConn, a week ago.
Yeah.
And pulled it off. So. Yeah, it's going to be great on Thursday night. Very quickly, I had a lot of fun yesterday as the announcer at the Penn State women's lacrosse game. In this case, I'm coming out of the bullpen.
Hey.
Somebody, the normal person had another engagement, and they put the call into me just a few days ago. Scott, can you help us out? I'm like, yeah, sure. Sounds like fun. And I had a blast at Panzer Stadium. Terrific facility. Penn State has a great team. There was like eight of us, might have been nine of us, doing various functions, you know, keeping track of stats, running the video board, running the music, all that stuff. I was a little nervous when I started, you know, like, okay, because there's a script and you got to follow a rhythm and stuff like that. But by the time of the second half, I pretty much had it all down. Like, there okay, I got this. And it was an exciting game against Ohio State. Went to overtime, although there was some drama late in the game.
Uh-huh.
The game is tied at 11. It's in the final minute. Ohio State has the ball. They're threatening. The referee calls Penn State for a foul, what's called a yellow card, which there's a green card foul, yellow card, red card. So yellow card's kind of in the middle. And if you're a hockey fan, it's like you get a two-minute penalty and you go to the penalty box. All right. Well, they have a penalty box of sorts, not really a box, but the player goes off. This foul is called with 8 seconds left in regulation, and it was disputed. Oh, the Penn State coaching staff was not happy, and the referees went to the video review. I'm thinking, they got that here too? Okay, yes, they do. Video review, a very long video review, and they come back out. Nope, two-minute penalty. So Penn State is playing shorthanded by a player. Now they kill off the last 8 seconds of regulation. Now we're going to overtime. And it's what's called golden goal. First team to score wins.
Yep.
The penalty, like in hockey, carries over to the next period. So Penn State is down a player. Ohio State has the ball. It is not looking good right now. Like, oh boy, this is not great. Penn State somehow fights them off. Gets the ball, goes down the field shorthanded, and Peyton Wayman, who scored several goals in the game yesterday, had a perfect shot. She got down to about ground level and flung it, and the goalkeeper for Ohio State couldn't get her net down in time. Penn State scores the goal. There's a brief pause like, okay, is that a goal? Is that a goal? Yes, it's a goal. Everybody starts jumping up and down. All right. Plus, it was Alumni Day yesterday, so a lot of former players were there, and it was great. There were Ohio State fans there, a lot of, you know, Perrin Red, and they got the Buckeye and the whole nine yards. They were not too pleased. Sorry about that. That's the way it goes.
That's what you get for being an Ohio State fan.
12-11. Penn State's won four in a row now. This team's on a roll, and they started slowly this year. I'm a fan now. Now, they only have one more home game. It's this Sunday. I did not realize USC had lacrosse coming all the way over from California for this. It's Senior Day. That game will be Sunday at 1. I will not be announcing, but I told them, hey, I said, did I do okay? And they're like, you were great. I'm like, I'd like to do this again sometime. That was fun. I had a blast. And all the gadgets and gizmos up in the box were great. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And so I hope to, you know, I'm in Penn State's bullpen now, as I call it. Somebody mentioned something about softball. I'm like, okay, I know softball. All right, that's fine. So if you need somebody, call me. So that was fun. If you were at the game yesterday, that was a lot of fun. So there we go. Okay, the age of disruption. Oh, yes, here we go. Protests and tariffs. Gee, which one do we start with, protests or tariffs? Let's start with protests.
All right. Then.
Now, we mentioned last week several times, I mean, we were almost a promotional agency for this event that was in downtown State College on Saturday. Unfortunately, if you remember, the weather was not nice. It was kind of rainy, kind of yucky. There were several stories out there. One said 500 people were there. Another one said several hundred people were there. All right, either way, there was a lot of people there. At Friedman Park, or Parklet, which is not very big, all right? So they must have packed them into kind of a small space. And there were speakers and so on. This is part of the hands-off series. And if you followed news over the weekend, these were everywhere. They were all over the country. They had one in London, for whatever reason. They had one in Paris, France, for whatever reason. So there were tons of people. It was some rough estimate, 1 million people took part in these protests. Okay. I have an acquaintance that on her Facebook page over the weekend, she put the title, "This is what democracy looks like." and it's pictures of people at a rally, and they're holding signs, a lot of people with signs. Apparently you can't have a protest anymore if you don't have signs. If there's any piece of good news, at least from what I can discern, you know, from social media and so on, I actually didn't see any signs with F words on them. Thank you very much. Okay, we don't need those. Now, you're laughing, all right? I know you slammed me last segment. We don't need those.
We don't. Okay?
No, we don't need those.
That I agree with you on.
But here's the thought. All right, now, again, this thing was called Hands Off. And I guess the basic... Well, here, let me read this. All right? Now, I'm reading this from a story. All right? So I'm quoting from a story. It says, organizers say they have three demands, or had, well, still have. Organizers say they have three demands. First, an end to the billionaire takeover and rampant corruption of the Trump administration. Okay. They've been in office for 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rampant means big, everywhere. Rampant corruption. And I'm thinking... Okay, I try to follow news very, very closely. I try to be as balanced as I can be. Sometimes that's hard. We've mentioned that. Sometimes that's difficult. What rampant corruption? What are we talking about here? All right, billionaire takeover. Well, you can guess who that's aimed at. Again, Elon Musk is the Antichrist now. All right? Now, I haven't seen any evidence that Elon Musk is, like, making big money from being part of Doge, this efficiency group. Heck, over the weekend, he lost money. Now, a lot of billionaires lost money. I might have that stat later on. All right? Tesla is taking a pounding for whatever reason, because people are ticked off. So, if this is a billionaire takeover, okay. The next thing, an end to slashing federal funds for Medicaid, Social Security, and other programs that working people rely on. Okay. Do you have evidence of this? Slashing funds for Medicaid, Social Security, in other words, people are going to get less money. I haven't seen this yet. Now, again, these guys, people, have only been running this gig for 2.5 months. And there have been rumors, there's lots of rumors, but I haven't seen any evidence of Medicaid slashing, Social Security slashing. It's not there. Now, could that happen at some point, probably well down the road? Maybe. Because, again, the whole idea is we got to balance this federal budget. And, you know, we say, hands off. Okay, that sounds great. Hands off, does that mean that everything that's happened in the last 2.5 months, that all of that should be rolled back? All of it should be rolled back. Well, let's say we did that. We rolled it all back somehow. Well, then we're back to that $2 trillion annual hole every single year, adding to the federal debt, which will eventually blow up in our faces and cause national bankruptcy. So for all, now, if you were a hands-off person, again, I would love for you to call in the program. Have the courage, pick up the phone, 814-954-7266. Okay? We're going to disagree with you all. You can tell that right off the bat. We're not going to berate you or any of that stuff. Have the courage to pick up the phone and call in and tell me, is that what you want, hands-off, is to roll back everything that's happened in the last 2 months, which means if we don't change the trajectory we were on, we're going to have national bankruptcy, maybe before the end of this decade. That's what you want. Because if it is, I'm like, really? Really? Okay, that's a little weird. Why would you want that? I mean, that's the whole, I understand people are angry. They don't like Donald Trump. They don't like Elon Musk. They don't like some of these other people. Okay, fine. I get it. All right? Granted, these guys have done some things I don't like. All right? The whole Canada 51st state thing was stupid. Just stupid. Elon Musk handing out million-dollar checks to people who voted. It's why? All right, just encourage them to go vote. You don't have to give people million-dollar checks. Why did you do that? That's dumb. That makes no sense. But again, if the whole idea of hands off is we should roll back everything that's happened, that means we are headed for inevitable bankruptcy. Why do you want that? I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there that's actually what they want. They want the United States to go nationally bankrupt, which again would be an absolute disaster for all of us, not just some of us, all of us. Why do you want that? Because if it's hands off, clearly I think that's what you're pushing. Why? Now I know how you feel on this one, I think. All right. I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on this? I mean, a lot of people showed up, which is great. This is what democracy looks like. Yes, with the rights given to us by our Constitution, you're allowed to go out and peacefully protest on whatever.
Absolutely.
That's great. I mean, we're being sincere. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. But as I mentioned last week, what's the purpose of this? Just to go out and vent? And make a cute sign? What problem does that answer? In my mind, it doesn't answer anything. And again, by hands off, we're going to roll back everything. That means you want national bankruptcy. That's what you want. Because that's what will happen if some changes aren't made in D.C. With the federal government. It is inevitable that we've been careening down this road. We can't do that. I've mentioned before, I'll probably be dead when this blows up, but my kids and my grandkids won't be. And this will affect them hugely. I don't want that to happen. That's what makes this angry for me. All right? This is just unbelievably poor decision-making. And if the idea is, hey, billionaires pay their fair share. Okay. The billionaires, by the way, over the weekend took a pounding. All right. They took a pounding. Before we take a break, this is from what? Bloomberg, I guess. According to Bloomberg, the world's 500 richest people, I don't know, they've got a list. They actually have a list. The Bloomberg Billionaires Index. That must be fun.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to be part of that group? The 500 richest people in the world, not just here, in the world, lost $536 billion of wealth since Thursday. Since Thursday. That's a lot of money. Elon Musk, yeah, him, took the biggest hit. Apparently, since Thursday, he has lost $31 billion in net worth. Mark Zuckerberg, he's down, what a shame, $27 billion. Jeff Bezos, he's starving, he's down $23 billion of worth since Thursday. So if this is a billionaire takeover, this is a bit of an odd billionaire takeover. All right, these guys are getting hammered. Now, that's mainly because of the tariff stuff. Okay, but God love the folks that were involved. And again, I've made somebody furious right now who's listening because they were at this thing on Saturday. They're amped up already. I'm talking about it saying, why did you do this? And they're just, they're just screaming, pounding the walls. What does that solve? What problem does that answer? And are we seriously, we have zero agreement that we need to cut back the federal government, needs to be less expensive, which unfortunately means fewer people. We need to find the waste and fraud. What, we should give the waste and fraud back? Hands off! We should give the fraud back? I mean, come on, folks, common sense. Think a little bit. Before we take a break, you chime in. What do you think about any of this?
I'll chime in after the break.
Okay, chime in after the break.
Yeah, there's a lot to try to unpack, and I'm reading through. I just wonder as we move forward to your point, exactly what it is that would appease really either side. It just feels like we are continuing to
go apart.
The gulf is widening, and I still believe at the end of the day the objectives are largely the same. but I don't think we would believe that because we've ascribed horrible things to the other side. We're coming right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
It's the Kubota Orange Day sales event at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Friday, April 11th, 8 to 5. Saturday, April 12th, from 8 till noon, test drive equipment. Get the best deals of the season. Get 10% off all in-stock parts, along with door prizes and giveaways. And do not forget the pancake breakfast from 8 to 11 both days. The Kubota Orange Day sales event features zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select Kubota models. On some models, you can save up to $3,500 with cash purchase. Just ask the Kubota experts at your destination for Kubota. Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Mark the dates on your calendar for the Kubota Orange Day sales event of the year, April 11th from 8 to 5 and the 12th from 8 till noon. Daughter Equipment, your destination for Kubota. 0% APR financing now through 6/30/2025. See Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 or go to KubotaUSA.com. For more information.
The Fox. Get up and get going with the Happy Valley 98.7 The Fox.
All aboard!
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use. 814-954-7266 if you wish to join the program this morning. Both sides are increasingly convinced. Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, progressives, however you want to term it. Both sides are increasingly convinced that the other is just absolutely out of their gourd and not worth talking to. I'm seeing more and more social media posts. You can't talk to these people. You're never going to change their mind. And to some degree, that's probably true with many. But I would like to get into some of what I think the objectives are on both sides. And again, I think we have very different ideas of how we get there. But I think, ultimately, we want many of the same things. I still believe that that's true. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good
Good morning. This is Chuck O calling in.
Chuck O, how are you?
Good. Hey, I saw some videotape of I think all the ones that are in the protests are, you know, in stages of grief because Donald Trump won the election. So, but there was a guy that was at the crowd, and he had a metal detector, and it said retard on it, and he just pointed it to the different people that were yelling, calling him fascist, and it was going beep, 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 beep as he was walking down there. I thought that was the funniest thing that I saw for the elections. But I just wanted to change the subject for a second.
All right.
This is the Masters started this weekend, and they have it for kids from 7 to 15. And I have a great niece that's 12 years old, and she won for her region which is in the Midwest. She was in the Great Lakes region. She lives out in above Indianapolis in the Muncie area of Indiana, and she got to go. There was 10 girls, 12 to 13. She's a 12-year-old from all over the nation, and two were from Canada. But she got to play at Augusta, which is great. She actually came in 10th. But this next year, she'll be 13 next year. So it's pretty exciting for, you know, someone to play at the Masters at that young an age. And that's great. So the bigger people, the older people, the adults, get to play starting sometime this week.
Thursday.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty cool. I tell you,
super cool.
I'm a hacker. I'm not bad. I just don't golf very often. I would love to play Augusta. Oh, my gosh. I would love to play that course. I guess it's a country club. I guess you have to be a member or something to play.
Yeah.
So I'll never get the chance, but I'd love to do that. So that's great for her. That's terrific.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, the Masters, cool. again, the course is just unbelievably gorgeous down there in Georgia. And CBS has had this for like a million years. So they'll have the coverage. Yeah, the actual men's tournament, the tournament starts on Thursday. So, that's fantastic. Oh, I wonder if she got some pictures with, like, famous golfers. That would be really great. So, anyway, 814-954-7266. You were in the middle of something.
Well, no. So, there's a couple of things that just, I still think we generally, the citizenry, still don't understand that to a large degree, and I do think Donald Trump does understand this, and I'm not supportive of everything he's doing. Across the board, I think the general ideas I'm supportive of, I think we're a little widespread and casting with too wide of a net on some of these things, including tariffs. I think, you know, maybe a little more targeted to specific countries where tariffs are ridiculously high on our goods going to their country. Maybe start there and then, you know, sort our way through. I forget who the, and I meant to write it down. There was a conservative on one of the shows. I kind of caught it overnight. It had aired earlier in the day, one of the days over the weekend. But it was a conservative saying that he might overall be supportive of how this overall concept of Trump's will come together, but he thinks he's implementing it backwards. And I think I agree with him in that. Just from an economic standpoint, from the market standpoint, it would have been better to wait another couple of months on the tariffs and wait until we get the big beautiful bill through and have the tax breaks and have everybody understanding what all that means, and, you know, presuming that you get that big beautiful bill through and that it means what conservatives want it to mean, which is substantial tax cuts across the board to stimulate the economy overall, to allow more of us to keep the earnings that we have made in our pockets, in our bank accounts, and then hit the tariffs instead of you hit the tariffs first, cause the panic, and then it's like, oh no, now we see we're offsetting this the other way. That seemed to me to be a reasonable point of view, but worthy of discussion. The number of people, though, both parties that are making a fortune as public servants over decades ought to be more concerning to all of us. And Republicans are very good at pointing out the Democrats, like Nancy Pelosi and the fortune that she's made, Joe Biden, the fortune he's made. And Democrats are very good. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene, have you looked at her? Her earnings, they're not matching up. And Democrats are very good at pointing out both parties are ridiculously guilty of cashing in personal gain on their role as what is supposed to be a public servant. That ought to be upsetting to more of us across the board, my humble opinion, on that particular issue. These people are, they should not be making the fortunes that they are, and they're not on in terms of their salary. Well, how are they doing it? Well, it's almost like there's inside information that they're using to be able to capitalize. And again, this is both parties to a wildly outrageous degree that are, you know, multi-millionaires, and you're like, huh, how are they doing that on a salary of $150,000 a year? Well, they're not doing it because they're just putting their nose to the grindstone, and by God, they've made, they're not in the private sector. They're not making opportunities for others to gain, access to wealth as employees, as that's not what's happening. Now, they are doing it via, hey, let's get some cushy jobs over here, and then you give us a kickback. Let's get some public money. And that is part of what has been done on the very positive side, my opinion, by Donald Trump and this administration. Now, again, are there some jobs that are probably needed that are being wiped out here, and we're going to need to get those back? Yep, I think that is absolutely happening. But they are keeping us talking over each other. I am just seeing more and more, and I'm pretty much staying off of, I'm reading through all of the social media. I am not posting anything because I don't see the good of it. I know if I post something, I know the response I'm going to get from this segment of friends, and I know the response I'm going to get from another segment. It's going to be about half of my friends saying, right on, right on. And the other half, oh, I can't believe you're one of them. And it's like, well, okay. At the end of the day, what I would like to believe is we still, overall, most of us want a sovereign nation. Not all of us, but the overwhelming majority of us want a sovereign nation. We want a prosperous nation. We want other countries to treat us fairly, and we want our country, our government, to treat them fairly. I think most of us want peace. I think we would prefer strongly we just have overall global peace. Something worth striving for, I think most of us would agree. Now, wildly different thoughts on how we get to any of these objectives, but I do think at the end of the day, again, we want ourselves and our neighbors to have the chance to make good money, to pursue the jobs that we want to pursue. We don't want people to be treated unfairly. We all want opportunities for everybody across the board, poor, no matter skin color, no matter religion. But I think there's a substantial portion of us that believe the other side doesn't want this, and no matter what, they're going to prevent it. And it's just not true. Again, we might have very different ideas of how we get to those objectives, but I actually do think we have a lot of common objectives that we're trying to strive toward.
Tomorrow's show with our guest could be very interesting. All right, get an inside look. This is how government really works. What's going right now, not so much. Tune into tomorrow's program with our guest who will call in on the right day tomorrow. In the meantime, weather. Oh, yes, we have that. We'll be right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley, 98.7 The Fox. It's Let's Talk here on a just beautiful Monday morning in the Valley of Happiness.
Well, it's beautiful somewhere.
We are joined by WeatherBell.com's Joe Bastardi. Mr. Bastardi, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'd be doing better if we had, you know, beautiful, boring weather, but not the case, as you've been telling us for quite some time.
Yeah.
But doggone it, you were right, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, we're stepping back a little bit. I mean, tomorrow's going to be a rude day. Normal high temperature now is around, I guess, 57 or 58. And,
now, see, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, not only will it not get out of the 30s, there are going to be snow flurries around, and it'll feel like it's around 20. So it's a rude step back. And when you get up Thursday morning, maybe, I think there are going to be snow flurries tonight and tomorrow. And then maybe even a heavier squall go through here. But, this time of the year, even if it sticks, it melts. I do think that Thursday morning could be interesting, and that we could have some snow and sleet Thursday morning. We got a big sloppy system coming for the weekend, and it's going to be mainly rain around here. Higher elevations may change over to wet snow. But if you're going to mention that in mid-April, it means it's going to be much colder than normal. Even if it's, there's nothing worse to someone that loves snow than seeing it rain at 35 degrees. That's probably what we're going to see around here. So, the upcoming week does not look real good. I'm just not bullish about a warm spring here. I mean, I could see freezes and frost threats into May this year, looking at this overall pattern. It reminds me a little bit of 2020, where we actually had snow on April 17th, and it actually we actually had a bad freeze that year in early May that impacted the peach crop around here. I guess it was a peach crop. I remember going to a fundraiser with GT, and we were talking about how bad that freeze was in May, because he happened to have some farming interests. That's the one thing our congressman here is strong on, agriculture. But hey, Case, other than that, I don't know if there's nothing to talk about. I want to tell you something. The wrestling blogs and the weather blogs. Okay, see, I'm involved. I am really into two things that are sort of, you know, small, have their small niche communities, relatively speaking. But I remember when, with all this stuff going on with, this guy's in the transfer portal and that guy's in the transfer portal, and sounds like we're in Star Trek. I remember when I left AccuWeather. All right, I just happened to, you know, people are emailing me, they're telling me what's on the blogs, and someone came out and said that I was moving to England, and I had a job with some big hotshot weather service in England, and I'm like, where does this stuff come from? And for those of you, since we are a sports station, we do love wrestling around here. I sometimes wonder, why do we love wrestling around here so much? But for those of you who are looking at that stuff, I look at some of that stuff and I go, this is like the weather. The weather blogs are the same way. I mean, I had a guy one time, he's going, I talked to Joe Bastardi 3 days a week. And I go, I've never even met this guy. It's just like unbelievable what goes on. Unless he's, you know, some kind of, someone's calling me up that I don't know, or I think he's someone else. But, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting watching all this stuff go on if you are a sports fan and a wrestling fan. And it's funny because I have to truly resist the wrestling blogs. I mean, I don't look at the wrestling blogs, but somehow the AI has figured out that I like the sport of wrestling, so it keeps throwing stuff at me on my Twitter account with it. And some of the stuff I'm seeing being said is just hard to believe, put it that way. Of course, it's nice. Like I told Casey, I said, well, it's nice wrestling is getting some attention, right? Because, after all, it is just it really is a niche sport for about 3 million fanatics. And, you know, it's kind of weird. Every time I go to the Nationals and the guys there say, let's show everybody what a great sport this is. Get up and yell as loud as you can when we come on, you know, right? I'm sitting there going, man, this is my dad used to always say, if you got to tell someone you're good at something, you can't be that good at it. So I feel like I should remind those guys that, you know, I know you want to drum it up, but you're not convincing anyone unless certain things get changed in the sport. You know, I think they got to enforce stalling better, for instance. I think if you can't get off bottom, you should be penalized a point for every 30 seconds you're on bottom. This is the best start. That way you will get off bottom. People tell me all the time, well, you stall on top. No. You know, I come from the old Bill Cole school of wrestling that if some guy can stay on top of you for more than 10 seconds, he owns you. I mean, I remember he used to get nasty about that in the room if you couldn't get off bottom. And I couldn't get off bottom very well, so you can imagine what my life was like.
Well,
all right, do we have any weather questions out there?
Well, yes, let's,
First of all, before, let me answer this question. Let me say this. Last week turned out exactly as it was supposed to turn out with the flooding and the tornadoes. It was exactly the way, it was just such a, it was a perfect setup for it. And, you know, there's all the gawking and the climate changing and all this other stuff going on now. And, you know, tariffs are causing the weather to go out of its mind. No, the weather's doing what the weather does when there's a monstrous clash. And without all that cold air that was in the pattern. I mean, we had a foot of snow in West Texas on Saturday. That's how strong that cold shot was. I thought the cold would be in Denver enough to snow out the Rockies. Instead, it was further south, all the way into Lubbock and Amarillo. But when you get these amplified patterns, you get this kind of situation. I mean, we had 162 tornadoes, I think, in the last week. But April 3rd and 4th, 1974, we had 150 tornadoes in 2 days. So there have been times that have been worse than this, certainly. And the flooding is interesting in that, first of all, a lot of the stations recording record-breaking rainfalls are less than 50 years old. Second thing is, look, if you want to pave over a lot of places, you know, people like living next to streams and, you know, nice areas. So there's the stream there. Let's just pave over the roads all around the stream and create roads around the stream. Well, guess what's going to happen to that runoff? It's not going to naturally just sink into the ground. So a lot of these things are man-made, but they're not man-made the way you might think it's pushed. It's man-made because of some of the things that we do. If you're going to build on a floodplain, then you're probably going to get flooded every once in a while. But it's very, very bad situation in that area of the country. It's a sign that there's a tremendous clash going on, that there actually is cold air around. And what's the best place for cold air to be? Well, between Canada and the Gulf of Mexico is the area from Texas to the Ohio Valley. And so you see these things start showing up from time to time, and it certainly just did. They'll dry out now. It probably won't rain there significantly for two weeks or so in that area of the country.
All right, Joe, is there some part of the country that's just fantastic right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, okay, so the West is going to reverse now, and it's going to get nice and warm out there. So they had a very cold start, and, you know, we were, that was beautiful last week here. I mean, we had a day where almost hit 80 degrees, and I don't know what people want. I think the whole victim mentality and the fact that we've softened as a society and we've been fed this line that every single day in our lives should be sunshine and lollipops and rainbows. I think that's really, really sort of tinted the way this argument goes, that people are astounded. And I got to tell you something. it's actually good for my business that people think the weather is bad. I mean, no one. Why the heck would you want to, hire a weather service if the weather's going to be nice every single day, right? So, it's good for business. I just think that, when you paint a picture, you have to have the entire canvas painted. You just don't say one thing. Like, for instance, the Atlantic, shock, just came out with an article. Scientists are stumped at what caused the warming that we just saw. It's water vapor. You had Tonga, which was shot a record amount of water vapor in the air, and you had a strong El Nino go off at the same time. What do you think is going to happen if you understand that we should be quantifying water vapor, not CO2? Quantify water vapor explains the whole thing. And then you have to go, well, what's warming the oceans? And that in turn limits what CO2 can actually do. So I think there's a lot of people that don't want to face that. So, and yet, here comes the Atlantic with this article on this, and I'm like, you have a snippet of truth. In the satellite era, that certainly was the warmest that I've seen. No question about it. By the way, it's already backed off a half degree Celsius, because guess what happens? The processes take over and start taking the water vapor out of the air, and it shows up in the form of areas get heavy rain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the atmosphere naturally will try to wash that out. The question is, do you continually get repetitive situations like this? Folks, we just had, and this is what bothers me about my field. Nobody gives a damn about the fact that the climate models missed on the temperatures off South America, the sea surface temperatures, by 5 degrees Celsius in a two-month period. Now you say, well, what do you care about that? Well, first of all, we're supposed to be in a La Nina, and it looks like a strong El Nino in what we call ENSO 1-2, the eastern part of the Pacific. That would have an impact on the hurricane season, right? But where did it come from? Where did it come from? It didn't come from the sun. It didn't come from CO2. Well, guess what? I happen to be friends with a lot of geologists, and they have informed me that there has been a tremendous amount of underwater volcanic activity off Panama, around the Galapagos, or whatever those islands are over there. And that is likely the cause of the injection of enough heat to cause the models to bust by 5 degrees Celsius. And what's crazy is that's a sea surface temperature forecast. They're not supposed to have that kind of bust. So what happens is, folks, you see me get, I'm just astounded at how arrogant my field is. What we should be doing is we should be saturating the bottom parts of the ocean. Now, I'm just taking this from the late Dr. John Kerr, with a lot of data so that we can see what's going on over there. So we just don't know, there's not enough heat down there, can't be that, which is what's going on. But now I have to deal with it. You put out a hurricane forecast based on a certain projection by a climate model. You don't think it's going to bust by 5 degrees Celsius over a two-month period in the oceans, and yet there it goes. Well, where did it come from? And this is what is wrong with meteorology and climatology today. They just go along to get along. Everybody's going to have it. It's nobody that wants to rock the boat or, get into fights. I mean, for whatever you want to say, my professors, when I was at Penn State, they loved getting into fights.
Well, I will tell you what is right about the weather, and that is you, Mr. Bastardi. And I just have one final question. What should we do with that weather?
Really? We're already done?
Enjoy the weather. We're done.